The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Good afternoon. In the 2 o'clock hour, your show, you're from your host, Life is a Gamble. And in Philadelphia, we got some issues to talk about in this next hour right here. I want to run 4 things past you guys. First of all, let's just say how excited I am to be here once again, another week, another Monday. You know, this is almost better than Monday Night Football. You know, this is my Monday Night Football. So, once again, the show is called Life is a Gamble. I am your host, Melvin Prince Jonathan. I have 4 things to run past you. I need you to call in and talk to me. There's going to be something I'm going to ask you as soon as you call in. I'm going to say, are you going to roll the dice this week or are you going to pass them? Last week, we had 3 people roll, 2 people pass. All of the women who called rolled the dice. All of the men who called passed the dice. And I guess there's some days where you might need to pass the dice, you know, whatever they... If they're hot and you are hitting a number, then I think they should be in your hand and you should roll them. So look, I want to know, you don't have to, but I want you to talk to me a little bit about the Trump in North Philly. Of course I was there. Of course you know I'm a Republican. Of course you know I was excited at the mere fact that he was able to come to North Philadelphia. In 2020, he had come to North Philadelphia. And let me tell you the difference between Republicans, African-American Republicans, just so we're clear. You have some who have earned their way, and you have others who were disappointed with the Democratic Party and figured they would run and jump on this Republican bandwagon. But the Republican, African-American Republican you meet, I want you to ask them a few questions, like, do you own your house? Do you own a company? Just those 2 questions. Do you own a company? Do you own your house? Because if they do not, then I need you to look deeper into that African-American Republican person. I need you to know if they were Democrat before they switched to Republican, if they were in poverty with the same impoverished ideologies and ideas, you know, did they ever create anything when they was on the Democratic side, you know, and then they switched to the Republican side? Do they have any committee people if they're ward leaders? I mean, I need you to really roll the dice on these folks right here, because you're lumping all African-Americans in with the Republican title. But you're not dealing with the quality ones. You're not dealing with the quality people of the party. See, sometimes you can go into a room like the Union League or like the Torrance Hill Golf Course, and you will see Republicans in there, all at the same status, a million left, a million right, but they all millionaires. They all have companies. They all have operated in this city efficiently. They all know how to conduct meetings that deal with money, not the ones that dress up and got all these multicolored hair like they would be in the Democratic Party, not the ones that, you know, scream and holler. You're talking about the ones who go to the boardroom, who make the decision, who know where the dollars are. And so you don't get a chance to say all African-American Republicans are sellouts, or all African-American Republicans on Uncle Tom's, so all African-American Republicans got an axe to grind with the Democratic Party. No, that's not what it is. What it is balance. You have to have balance. You cannot. I always tell people, I say, well, if I was a Democrat and Allen Iverson was a Democrat and they had to pick a guard and they picked Allen Iverson opposed to me, then I had to switch teams. Because I want to give him the same work that he wants to give me, I want to give it back to him. But I cannot do that if I'm on the same team. So look, I'm going to run these 4 things past you guys that I like to know. Would you roll the dice or would you pass the dice? They're now going to put the former president of city council, Darrell Clark, on the board of the Philadelphia Housing Authority. What does he offer? What does he bring to that board? I'm not sure. You guys tell me. We talked about Trump. Also, real or not real? I need to get a feel for you guys on what's real in this city and what's not real. Because somehow I think you guys are believing a lot of stuff that is real that is not real. And I can go in further details, but I want you guys to help me out with that. And my last point for the day is the Uptown Theater, $7 million. It opened one night, and it's been closed for 40 years. Somebody help me out with that math. So I'm going to go right into my my first caller, Maurice, the blind prophet. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm ready to roll all the dice.
You ready? So you rolling the dice, Maurice?
Always got to roll the dice.
So look, help me out. Help me out. Matter of fact, you know, I spoke with you earlier, and you had a question that you had asked me about earlier. Ask me that question now. Do you remember?
Well, it was something about Black Media's memberships.
No, I don't think that's what it was. I think it was more on squatters.
Definitely.
Yeah, I wanted to answer that question on an open airwave because I think it was very important. My suggestion, what I would like to suggest, and this is just me and all the folks that I know, is that if you can call me up and you give me an address of somebody somewhere that's squatting, and then we'll do the necessary paperwork to get the permits and to shut that street down. And when we shut that street down, we will shame the squatters staying in somebody else's house that they're either paying a mortgage on or they could have one of their relatives live in. But we will no longer just let it be acceptable for folks to just go and live in other people's houses. And we also are going to do a petition to challenge that eviction. What is it called, Maurice? That city council passed? Diversion.
Well, they always like to give a fancy name.
Right. You guys can
have the real deal is the homeowner, the person that owns the property, suffers. We're supposed to suffer, and we're supposed to have all this sympathy for somebody that didn't sweat and use their ability to get what they own and have somebody else to come use it in the city wants you to feel sorry for them. Not only don't collect the rent and keep you out for about 6 months, but also have you try to pay their utilities too.
Right. Absolutely.
And it's ridiculous.
Right. If they don't pay their utilities, they're gonna move that over to you. So now you got your $200 electric bill is now $300, you know,
right,
for folks who do not pay. But here's the thing, Maurice, and I want to ask you, because I know you're out there in Southwest, and as a prophet, you see things in Southwest that folks living in Mount Airy and North Philly and other places can't see. Do you know how many houses that are owned, roughly? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. How many houses that are owned, roughly, by the Philadelphia Housing Authority in Southwest?
Well, I have to be honest with you. I actually don't have a counting on that. I do know, because when I came, I was the new breed out here back in the 70s when Black people were moving out to Southwest Philly. And right now, we have a lot of people that are on the property, but they are renting their property right now because it's too violent to live in the area, so they rent it out to other people. See, and that's a shame because, you know, they'll come drive by, check out their property, and guess what? Somebody's living in it.
Right.
And with help of the city. Some of them even have some programs from the city that's helping them live in it.
Okay, so look, I'm going to ask you this question right here because this is important to me. I think it's the most stupidest thing ever, but hey, maybe me not living in the Southwest just driving past, I'm speaking from, I don't even think I'm ignorant to that extent. How come the police officers get to park in the residential parking space on the street? And they got a parking lot that the residents can't park in at the same time?
Well, out here in Southwest, you know how age goes. There's no room. We get like South Philly now. You don't have any room. We got more cars than houses.
Mm.
Well, and they didn't make up no pre-arrangements. They thought they was going to always have a 12-car police station. Now they got a 26, 30-car police station.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so give me some input on the three things that I mentioned. We're not going to deal with real or not real. I'm going to use that for the second half of the show right here. I want to hear your thoughts about Donald Trump. I want to hear your thoughts about Darryl Clark going on the board at the Federal Housing Authority. And I want to hear your thoughts about Uptown, the theater. $7 million open, one night closed, 40 years.
Well, that's been a waste, and that's been the big money getter. Somebody comes up every once in a while, hey, we need to reopen Uptown. First of all, can't open Uptown no more because you don't have anywhere to park car. There's no parking available. And then with today's cars costing averaging $40,000 and more, nobody wants to bring their car up to a bad neighborhood and park a car outside.
Now I heard you say two things.
The idea is done.
I heard you say Southwest was a bad neighborhood, and you just said North Philly was a bad neighborhood. Where's the good neighborhoods at?
Well, the good neighborhood is where people can afford to pay for it, which is Society Hill and up there near Chestnut Hill or Germantown area where most of our political opponents, which I call Democratic captains and queens and princesses, live at up that part of Germantown. They get all the police protection, but we don't. And they also sometimes get their trash collected twice a week.
Well, you know what? I really appreciate you calling in, man. I see George is on the other line right here.
No problem.
I'll tell you what. Next Monday, same time, same bat channel, okay?
That's right.
Thank you, man. All right. George.
Yes.
The mighty
Hello?
George. It's the mighty George. It ain't George from Center City on this show. It's the mighty George.
Oh, the mighty George? Okay. Yeah. Let's try to get right to the, you know, put the work in, you know, because that clock ticks pretty quick, you know?
Let's put the work in. Let's go.
Right. So, therefore, let's talk about PHA first, right?
Mm-hmm.
One thing I can say, they cleaned the house with a special group of African-Americans. They call them Negroes. A special group of Negroes they cleaned out. They're gone.
Right.
So now the new group of Negroes they bring in, you got to question that. Darryl Clark was in tears to say that after all these years of public service and gave all this farewell speech, I'm going to the hospice and, you know, I'm going to, like, just call it. I'm just calling it in. I'm tired. I'm going to go rest. You know, so... what did they do? They did like they did 17. They called him and said, whoa. You know, you're on your way there, but you can go there. You know, you can put that off a minute. They brought Sabatini back to run for registered wills. Then what did they do?
Hold on, George. Sabatini. Give me his age,
George.
Headed
registered wills. You know him, right?
Give me his age, George.
I think he 80-something, right?
80-something. So wait a minute. So we had a vibrant person, African-American woman who ran for registered wills and won the seat. And the last person prior to her who held registered will seat has held it for 41 years, correct?
46 years.
So she could have held it possibly for how long? For forever, 40. Right? For
yeah,
a very long time, right?
Yeah, but tell them why she didn't.
Well, that's what I'm about to ask you. I'm about to ask the mighty George, you know.
No. You brought it up, so therefore, spell the history out.
Most definitely. So when you are not politically savvy, and you don't understand politics, when you first get in office, the first thing you do not do is fire committee people and ward leaders. Period. Am I right, George?
Oh, no question. Keep telling the story.
You do not fire committee people.
Even though you're black and it's against the law for you to learn how to read, you know.
It doesn't matter what color you are. When you get in politics, you do not fire committee people and ward leader. What you do is get a feel for whatever their specialty is. Try to understand who they are and who they are tied to and who they are grandfathered disposition by. Those are what you do. And the second thing is that you do not do. You don't hire more than one or two family members, and you make sure that on paper they are just as good at doing their job as when you hired them. So you can't have your daughter who's incompetent and selling T-shirts all in the place there. You can't have your nephew. You know, you can't have your uncle telling you to hire his your cousin. You know, all those people will get you fired faster than you giving them a job. And so I think Go ahead.
So saying all that there, we got it out the way how Sabatini got there. Now, let's get to the part how Darryl Clark ended up on the Philadelphia Housing Authority board, right?
Well, hold on. I need you to hold that thought. We're a quarter after, 15 after. Let me take a quick break, and then let me come back, and we can talk about that.
Hi, I'm Cody DiPablo. Cancer, we don't want to think about it, but I had to because, well, I was busy working, traveling, enjoying life, completely forgot to pay attention to my health. Too much time passed since my last PAP. By the time I was tested, things didn't look too good. We thought I might have cervical cancer. Cervical, ovarian, and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. I was lucky. After lots of worries, no cancer. I've always been very close to my mother. When we finally got good results, she broke down. And that's when I realized it's not just about me. It's about your loved ones, too. So women, get a Pap test to check for cervical cancer and get the inside knowledge about gynecologic cancers.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
When the Wall Street Journal needed expert views on crisis intervention and mental health, they called the consortium. When the United States Department of Health and Human Services needed to launch their national 988 hotline, they came to the consortium, and so can you. Here's consortium CEO John White Jr.
Mental wellness influences so many aspects of our lives. Long before the headlines, we were on the front lines. We've been pioneering the art of helping people feel better for more than 50 years. Our expertise is unsurpassed. Today, so many people are under a lot of pressure, telling themselves, I'm okay. Trauma is real. Our counselors can help you feel better now. And when you feel better, you achieve more. With our proven strategies and compassionate guidance, you and your gifts will shine. We've helped thousands of people, and we can help you feel better now. Give us a call. 215-596-8100.
That's right. Call the consortium. 215-596-8100. Listen to Bishop Mary. Call 215-596-8100.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away. And know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table.
George, you know,
yes,
you know Kenny Rogers, my song right there, George. Kenny's
yes,
my
sir.
Song.
Yes, sir.
Come on, George,
listen,
let's go.
So, you know, that you spelled that out right. You know, everybody goes to the Democratic Party. If you want to run for something, you pay your respects to the Democratic Party, the war leaders, the committee people, you know. And if you ever notice, it's that Bob Brady put more African-American judges on the bench than anybody ever tried to in the history of it. And they said they called a man a racist. If he was a racist, he could have put all white judges there.
Let me just, I think that you look at him, you look at Mr. Doherty, you look at Manuel and those guys at One Day at a Time, you look at a lot of people where people make their runs to go see these people when they run for office. It's appropriate that you do that. You don't get in office without going to see these folks. And the thing about it is that you are fooling yourself. You don't have that much money to buy your way in. We had multimillionaires, Tom Knox and a few other, had all the money in the world and still couldn't buy their way in. You have to go to certain people.
And what you're saying is right. And, you know, you got to look at how many African-American judges came to run and didn't have the money that some kind of way Bob Brady put money through. A lot of times he goes and raise money for them or get the money for them to make the assessment. But, you know, got these special group of Negroes in this city who always got to be yak, 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 not knowing what they're talking about and making it bad for other African-Americans. And always a loud mouth broke when they do the talking.
And here's
what I'm saying?
Here's the problem. Isn't it funny when they look you in your eyes as if you're supposed to help them when they don't know the rules to the game?
No, they know the rules. They just think they don't apply to them.
Right.
Let's move to this here, Prince, what you call a person was saying that's very important that people got to understand. It was Helen Gim and it was a few clowns that followed her in council who made it possible for squatters to live in your house for a year or 2 years without paying anything, running
that's
your water
bill up. Eviction,
diversion. And then the city will turn around and give you a water bill that is ridiculous for them running water. Okay?
So
even though you got to pay mortgage.
So let me ask you a question, though, because I'm still confused about this storm water. the storm water. So if you run, water falls on your roof and it runs down your, you know, along
your downspout.
Your downspout. See, I got a 37-year-old son that's sitting in the studio with me, and rarely do you have children with you that can keep quiet and listen, and then when I ask them a question, be able to respond. That's how you mature up a child. That's how you mature a person to be responsible. And so it's a downspout. If it runs to the downspout and it runs down into the water runoff, you should not be charged for that. And under the last few administrations, the ones who look like you, who've been in office, have overtaxed you and overcharged you and put levies on you. And you're putting levies on a poor community that you have not economically stabilized. And that's not just trifling, but it's appalling. And so every time when you call this show, I say, I'm a Republican. So I'm not the Republican that's going to say I'm going to fight you because you got something to say about Republicans. No, I'm going to look at your work. I'm going to look at your value. I'm going to look at the time.
But you know who was the person who put the bill in who started that, right? It was Michael Nutter. But Michael Nutter did that in the purpose and intentions to hurt black people.
But one thing
you had to respect about Michael Nutter, he said he wasn't doing nothing for black people because that wasn't his base. They didn't vote for him. So therefore, he got to take care of the people who, you know, his constituent that voted for him first. Which, you know, in most instances, that's the way it play out. But he was mayor. It was his call.
He had the dice, right? So if he had the dice, he could roll in the way he wanted them anytime he wanted. So look, I want you to answer this call. I want you to answer this question right here, then I'm going to go to Miss Mary. How do you feel about the Uptown Theater they spent $7 million on? It opened one night, and then it's been closed for 40 years.
Well, they're going to spend another $7 million. You know what? It would have been a good idea had Trump had his rally there. You know, maybe he could have raised some money, you know, to get it open or whatever. Matter of fact, it would have been better for him to be there because he would have filled that with the 700 people he had there at the Lear Chorus.
Well, now you messing with my guy, George. I'm going to let you go.
Well,
we got to fight. Let me say this. Next Monday, we're going to fight because you are important to me. So every Monday, we now have a home so we can have this kind of dialogue between you and between Maurice, between the other folks who call me. We're going to talk about serious issues like this so we can get a solution.
Let Miss Mary get in because I know that clock is ticking. And I know she has something very important to say. And like I say, if you don't vote, you don't count. So you get what you vote for, you know. So, hey.
Hold up. I want to quote what you said a long time ago.
Whose food you eat is whose song you sing.
Thank you, George.
So, you know, that's the way it goes. You know?
Have a good one, man. Let me get with Miss Mary. Miss Mary.
Yes, good afternoon, Prince.
Oh, man, such a pleasure. How are you this afternoon?
I'm fine, thank you.
Now hold up. Wait a minute. I got to ask you a question. Are we rolling the dice this week or are we passing them?
No, I'm rolling the dice.
Okay, go ahead then.
You know, I'm seeing both parties are trying to be politically correct instead of being honest with the citizens in this country. We're going bankrupt,
right.
Not only on a federal level, city and state level. And we have to stop this. I'm looking at where our state senator, Steve Censerio, a Democrat from Bucks County, submitted legislation to bar people from boycotting Israel or defunding Israel. And we have provided Israel with $360 billion on a federal level. And with Pennsylvania provided $56 million to Israel.
Miss Mary, let me do this right here. Because now, one thing that I was telling myself, because every time I listen to folks, and I listen to folks who deal with the international stuff, and I look at here, right here in Philadelphia, you know, sometimes some things is out of my reach. And those numbers aren't out of my reach, but those numbers are numbers that we need to be putting in Philadelphia some kind of way. And I'm not talking about the state of Pennsylvania. I'm talking about what is it that we need to do locally to help all these issues that we have right here, right now. Because the push is that if I can convince you to talk about something else, or I can convince you to tell me what's going on in Camden, and yet I still got people sleeping on the streets here, I still got poor schools here, I still got people that are places that are building new houses for new poor people, and yet at the end of the day, you're using those poor people as the commodity, if not to borrow off of them, to pick on them. So I see the bigger picture. You and I both know, I write books, I see the bigger picture, but I need some help on what's going on in Philadelphia right now. How do we move my city right now? You know, should Darryl Clark be sitting? Why is he on the PHA board?
The bigger picture is they're taking $91.1 million out of our pension fund.
Mm.
Anyone who provided or paid into the pension in the city or the state of Pennsylvania, I don't care if you was with the school district.
My dad was a longshoreman.
Pension that you receive from Pennsylvania that go into the benefit trust fund.
Right.
These legislators, they said 37 states have already entered this legislation that we are not allowed to boycott Israel.
Yeah, but
or
defund
Israel. I mean, they're submitting legislation to take this out of your pension.
Listen, the same way they submitted legislation that everybody who turns 18 years of age will automatically be registered into the military, automatically, without a doubt. So my thing is, for me to look at this, and I want you and I to look at this, because I got more of a problem with the let out at Martin Luther King than I do with $91 million that I can't see, and I'm not in a position to do anything about it, you know. And so when we voted for those people that are in office, I didn't, because the majority of those people in office are Democrats, so I didn't cast my vote that way. So, and you have a gripe, you have a fight with them, you do, because it's your money. But the problem is, I have a bigger problem when somebody's getting shot and you guys see them walk around all day carrying a gun and he shoots somebody. So I'm not moving you anywhere left or right. I'm just saying, when you look out your door, Israel is not right there. When you look out your door, the kid down the street who you might see today and not see tomorrow is there. And how do we fix our local and immediate problems before we stretch ourselves? That's all I'm asking. If you can give me a chance to say, hey, because do I think it's fair what's going on economically, financially? I don't. Do I have a nickel in that quarter? I don't. But I can control from this microphone what we can do to make sure another kid doesn't get shot in the street, to make sure that another parent is not losing a son or a daughter, and to make sure somebody have a house to sleep in that we've provided them, opposed to them sleeping and living in somebody else's house.
Yeah, Prince, we're looking at people that have basically, they're robbing us blind in this city. And we know who the people are. I mean, I'm reading about them every day where we have formed these committees. I mean, the Police Oversight Committee was funded, and they did absolutely nothing. They were ghost employees.
We're forming
these committees with knowing that we are the poorest big city in this country.
Right.
We're funding of several committees, nonprofits, knowing that they have been using the money illegally, and we're not clawing back the money. So we're just welcoming people to basically steal from us in Philadelphia, even from the school system, where I read it was a nonprofit that defunded or defrauded the school system.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we have to think about who are these people, and we need to make sure that the Treasury Department, they have their prosecutors on board to claw back that money. I don't care if they have to take every last cent from these people, taking their assets, their properties. You can't tell
everything.
Me it's
everything
okay.
that they got ill-gotten, everything that was ill-gotten. So I got this last question to ask before I take Clyde, my next caller. So my suggestion was for all the people who were squatting in other people's houses is to go to the city, get the permit, get civil affairs involved, shut the street down, and to shame them that they're living on somebody else's water bill or somebody else's electric bill inside of somebody else's home. What's your take on that?
You know, my thing is that people are not checking on their properties. They don't have it in the hands of management or managers. And, you know, I had an undocumented family that lived in the back of me. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know they were undocumented till one of my neighbors and the original owner who recently purchased the property. Mm. It was a white Russian guy
mm-hmm.
who showed up. And he had notified ICE. Those people moved in a matter of seconds. People, when they leave their properties vacant in this city, you know, and
we call it abandonment.
We put it in, they don't, we don't call in it the vacant. Land bank.
We call it abandonment when they abandon their properties.
Exactly.
The
people, squatters will move in and the law enforcement does absolutely nothing once they are in there to move them out immediately. You know, I have friends that own duplexes, refuse to rent to people because they've had problems with people that had good jobs did damage to their property.
Let me do this right here, because since I'm only here on Mondays, if any of your friends need somebody to write a letter, or any of your friends need somebody to present in the form of literature, some documentation to somebody, to some politician on the Republican side, then feel free to let me know. And then I'll offer my professionalism to put a letter to some of the Republican guys in the state to see if we can get that taken care of. I'm going to take a break, Miss Mary, and when I come back, I'm going to talk with Clyde. Thank you for calling, right. Miss Mary. You always got a home here on Mondays.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be here to hear what's on your mind.
Kids want to share what's going on in their lives with the adults around them. Parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, and more. They want to know you're listening, and they want to listen to you. They want your input and guidance, early and often, on all kinds of topics. When it comes to a serious subject like underage drinking, they want to know your expectations, as well as how and why, as a young person, they should avoid alcohol. How you talk about it will change as your child grows, but the important thing is to talk about it. Not just once for an hour when you think the time is right, but in 60 one-minute conversations and more that are part of your everyday talks. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
When you need me, I'll be by your side.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away. And know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting.
Hey, Clyde, how are you? Clyde?
Hey, good afternoon, Prince. How are you?
Oh, man, I am awesome, man. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to give me a call. So there was four things I talked about. The Uptown was one of them. They spent $7 million. It opened one night, and it closed for 40 years. The other one was former president of City Council, Darrell Clark, being appointed to the board of the Philadelphia Housing Authority. And
well,
the
that's
mayor,
what they do.
The mayor has two other people who she appointed to the board as well. I don't know who they are right now, but I'm going to the next board meeting. I'll know who they are. Donald Trump came to North Philly. It was effortless. You know, he came, said he, what he was going to say. A lot of people agreed, or a lot of people supported the initiative. And I don't think that Donald Trump as an individual is the totality of the Republican Party. I think that he is Republican and he's running, and folks got to actually grind no matter who run at any point in time. You know, I remember talking to a woman recently, and she said, well, all the stuff that he has done, and you still support him. I say, no, I support the office of the presidency, and I support the Republican Party. And so never did she ask me, what's your aspirations in life, Prince? I say, well, you know, I would like to be Secretary of HUD. You know, that's what I would like to be. That's what I'm aspiring to be. And in order to do that, I got to sit with the people. I got to run for the offices in order to get a seat at the table. You know, she said, so
right. You
got VIP tickets. Can you get me in? And if you get me in, tell them that I'm a black woman, I'm an African-American woman, I'm an African-American journalist, and I'm an African-American journalist for a small black news company, news outlet. I say, so let me understand something. What would happen if I just told him you was a good journalist? Would you be any other color, or would you be, would he see anything else other than you are a good journalist? And if you are a journalist from a small paper or from a small station, and he came on your show based on you being a journalist, wouldn't that give you more credibility, lend more credence to you saying, let them know I'm an African-American? How else would you be any different? Would he see you any other way? That didn't make sense. And I say, that's the level of propaganda that I'm talking about. If you're going to be good at what you do, just be good at what you do. Let your work speak for itself. So I'm just saying that it just didn't work for me for her to try to classify. And I think that's like, let me incite the riot. You know, let me incite people saying, you know, he don't like black people. And black people don't like black people.
About that.
Right. And so I don't understand. I always thought black was a crayon, was a color of a crayon. Like, who are you, indigenous people? Are you African people? Are you? And this is why the younger generations don't buy into that, because we're quite sure that you don't know who you are. And if it don't matter to you who you are, then it don't matter to them. That's why the young people resist getting in confrontations with older people, because they want to lead when they don't know who they are. And this, you know, but let me hear how you feel about it.
You know, I've always had a problem with that box of crayons that they try to put these labels on us. But I want to shift gears real quick, and I want to stay on your topic, but I want to shift gears. First, I want to say prayers to that police officer that was shot over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But I find it kind of strange that seven people were shot on a block. Then a police officer was shot, and the mayor hauled ass down the temple, but not one word on these seven people that were shot.
We're going to say haul tail, but to your point, it's more incidents are going to happen before this summer is over with. They've already told you.
And we talked about that.
Yeah, because you've expedited making moves in a way that's not that hasn't communicated with everyone. And I'm saying, if these folks you got came out to vote for you, now once again, I'm Republican, I'm not Democrat, but if they came out to vote for you and you gave a darn, why aren't you on foot patrol walking through Erie Avenue and the Clock Bar and walking through Southwest 52nd and Wailuce and them places? And I'm not talking about on foot based on news media being there. I'm talking about going one of the corner bars and shoot a game of pool or two. You know, go just sit and say, hey, we all need to participate in reducing what's happening after 6 o'clock or after 8 o'clock or at 9 o'clock. Because last week, I think a 2-year-old or 4-year-old got shot in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize?
I mean, Prince, for me, I mean, you know, people are who they are. Mm-hmm. Compassion goes, you know, a long way. But we talking seven people and not one word? Not one word.
Yeah. How do you do that?
I mean, that's...
Right.
And I'll say this, Prince. For me, you know, being that I had five nephews murdered in the last 6 years.
Mm.
I mean, come on, man. It's like what are we doing? What are we really doing? It's like...
So let me understand something. You've seen it on the news like I've seen it on the news, right? Mm-hmm. You've seen 75 police officers brand new deployed to Kensington, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be clear. You've seen the big hype about it. This was the new class. We taking the whole class and shipping them to Kensington, right? Right?
Yep.
Where did the man get shot at? Where'd the cop get shot at?
Kensington.
Exactly. This was a veteran. This wasn't no, he just got out the class. He was there 6 years. You know, right. You survive when the police force here in 2 years, you considered a veteran. So you deploy. Then this is the problem I got with the glitter and gold of things. You know, this man didn't get shot in North Philadelphia. Man didn't get shot in West Philadelphia and Southwest Philadelphia. He got shot in a place where the day before you just told us that you even put 75 cops straight out the academy, straight down there, and this happens. It's no different than last year. I don't know if you remember a couple years ago, they had a press conference in the daytime with the former commissioner that how they was going to stop crime on a certain street in West Philadelphia, you know, at a certain recreation center in Philadelphia, in West Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I mean, they was all fun and fair, you know, what they was going to do. They had all the legislators there that lived in the community that has a stake in the game. And then at night, two people got shot right in the on the basketball court of the recreation community. Why even trust these people, you know?
I just don't know what to say, Prince. I really don't. And again, you know, you know, I pray that officer makes it, you know, I mean,
they may be
both number of good Philadelphia police officers. But
what I understand is that he got shot in the neck, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, everybody kept saying there's too many guns out on the street. Everybody kept saying, you know, what are we going to do? And so, you know, the Republicans, it's a constitutional right to carry a firearm. But my thing is that you need to communicate better. You got too many programs that you're paying a bunch of money to call them anti-violent program in the midst of nothing but violence.
Yep.
Make it make sense for me. You can't make this up. You look at the budget. Look at the numbers. You got good people like you out here that would be more than happy to operate and run a program that would probably reach a bunch of children in your community. Come on, man. You're one of the best skaters that I know, if not in this city, in this tri-state area. You know, I seen you in books and on commercials with the skates. So, you know, we don't own any skating rinks, don't own any bowling alleys. And so for you to transfer some of that time where folks could just not always be exposed to the level of violence. You know, when I see Grand Theft Auto, I'm almost trying to construct an app. So on Grand Theft Auto, they can have somebody skating down the street, you know, just so I can say, you know what, Clyde, and I'm put you in one of these apps right here, you know. Because you got to understand something. If a kid plays Grand Theft Auto from age 8 to 18, that's 10 years. Anything you do consistently for 10 years, you'll be good at it. You'll be better than most folks at it, but you'll definitely be good at it. So what's the next step from a virtual game of carrying a gun, snatching somebody out of a car? You know, you only get the more people you kill and the more cops you shoot, the more points you get until they kill you and then the blood shoots up on the screen. Psychologically, how devastating is that to have someone play that kind of game with a young a mind that's not mature?
And, you know, not only that, you know, Prince, now, I talk with some young people, and basically, you know, we talk about the trap music and all like that there, and the constant disc on records and things of that nature. So my thing is, I sat down with them, And I said, okay, where did these beats come from? So they start quoting stuff, and I had to take them back. And see, you have to offer a balance, which is your key word. We don't offer a balance.
Right.
So we got some negative. So why don't we put some positive in there, and then you make the choice?
Well,
you make the choice.
Yeah, I don't want to lead them. I don't want to lead them to make the choice, because sometimes environment could make the choice for them. In some places, when you grew up, you had to learn how to fight. And when you grew up, there were some places, because I remember there was Carmen Skating Ring, there was Elmwood Skating Ring, and at Pride, and if you could skate real good there, then you'll take your show on the road, go over to Jersey, go over them places. I think there was one up the Boulevard that was a skating ring as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so they no longer ride skateboards, they ride hoverboards, they no longer ride hoverboards. Everything has an engine to it now, so you do less physical exercise. You no longer bike, you got an electric bike where it moves by itself. So here's my question to you. If I gave you 10 guys right now, all right, and I say two came from all over the city, you know, south, southwest, north, Mount Airy. If I gave you those guys right now, what cardinal principle would you put in them where they will leave you and then go into the world? What would you put in them? What would you mirror your tutelage after?
Well, number one, for me, you know, growing up in a gang-infested area in South Philly and knowing the players, I got into dance. You know what I mean? Something that I wasn't, you know, I got into formal dance. I was breakdancing and all like that there. But somebody pulled my coat, like, yo, come over here. And I'm like, nah, I don't want to go over there. And they're like, all right, let me try it. So I got exposed to something different. You know what I mean? And then from there, it just constantly grew. And then I went outside the city. I went outside the confines of the city. And then I started traveling the country. Then I started going to other countries. So we have to let people know that this world is pretty much ours. You know what I mean? You can see the world.
So we have to expose them to something new. So everybody.
Yeah.
And so to your point, when we were coming up, we had an executive director of the Knightstown Boys and Girls Club. And he would always have these trips to the Football Hall of Fame and mm-hmm. camping and just different things, taking folks outside of Philadelphia and exposing them, because you have less of a propensity to do something stupid or do something crazy because you don't know, you're not familiar with your surroundings.
mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think that's
right. And you know what, Prince? I got to stop you for one second. It's like, I remember first time I went to Chicago and the skating rink I went to was on the south side. I'm like, man, let me be on my P's and Q's and stuff like that there. But just the experience alone and this, you know, the attitude that I took there,
mm-hmm.
you know, changed the whole perception.
Well, a lot of folks say that when they hear about North Philadelphia from a distance. So they have this thing playing mm-hmm. on TikTok that Strawberry Mansion is the worst school in America. I don't know if you've seen that. And it tells you about, they got 490-some kids with 49 incidents and only 2 metal detectives, and they have over 49 officers in the school. And I'm like, wait a minute. I see this, but a half a block from Strawberry Mansion, they got a tennis court, they got a swimming pool, they got a water park, and then a half a block and 3/4 of a block down, they got a driving range, you know. And then if you go 5 blocks down, they got houses, cars, or a mile, within a mile vicinity, they got houses that cost $500,000.
Ain't the horse stable down the street from there too?
Not in close proximity as everything else I've named. And so if this was mm-hmm. anywhere else, maybe Montgomery County or maybe Abington, and you looked at this school, which was like 3 blocks long, and you didn't call it Strawberry Mansion, you know, you called it something else, you would talk about, whenever we sell a home or wherever we buy a home, we look at the surrounding comps. Is that what we do? Right. What complements where you're living at? So if I told you that the school that your kid is going to go to, they're going to have tennis at a tennis court. They're going to go outside for recreation and have tennis at a tennis court, which is a block away. They also are going to have a water park. You know, they also have basketball courts and other things just a half a block away, we're going to have our recreation there. And then we're going to let them smack golf balls. You're like, well, wait a minute. Where is this campus at? I want to go there. Right?
Yeah.
So what happens is if I want to take your neighborhood, I want to reduce the value of it. How do I reduce the value of it? Well, I reduce the value by giving you all the negative information about it all day long, constantly. And then I let those stores move in your neighborhood that sell alcohol on a 24-hour basis, you know, ran by foreigners who don't live in that community. So there's no vested interest in that community right there. Then I'm constantly doing infrastructure work. So I'm constantly having delays with your roads and your streets and stuff like that, along with the fact that you got about 3 bus lines that run there. So we spent $1 million on building the depot right across the street from Strawberry Mansion. Nobody talked about that. All they do is talk about the kids in the school and the school. And I'll bet you within 5 to 6 years, those 400 students will be moved somewhere else. And then when they put condos along that, in that school, because they're not going to tear it down. When they put those condos in that school right there, all those things I talked to you about will benefit the people who live in that neighborhood that's in those condos. What do you think?
It's the same thing that did the Bob Tech.
Yeah.
I mean.
or vaults.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's another astounding thing to me. I think we talked about this. Is like you had an internationally recognized program at vaults. Mm-hmm. I mean, those kids was beating pros.
I learned how to play chess at vaults. My grandma lived on Cyber Street, which was a block down from vaults. She was the grandmom who put the comet on those stone steps and stuff like that. And, you know, and you had to get on the steps before the street light came on. But I learned how to play chess at the rooftop at vaults high school. And so there's a lot of things that we hadn't had a chance to pass the baton to the younger generation. We hadn't had a chance to mold them in a way because they have services that are available to them. That wasn't available to us back in the day, you know. And so I think that now we have to ante up our game and find out what they're learning social media wise and how they are moving through the cell phones and so we don't feel that we're so isolated and trapped. I got two. I got a minute and a half. I'm gonna leave that to you, Clyde. Go ahead.
Well, you know, it's disheartening that the programs that were in place, such as walks, are no longer there. I mean, I just will really want to know what happened to that program. You know, what really happened to that program? Were there too many, you know, dark faces there or what? Because, I mean.
Well, no, we won national and we won all over the world. So it didn't have anything to do with. So here's my thing. I don't think that the majority of us, when we're good and when we're capable, the influence where we are means a whole lot, because there are more people who gravitate to see a Simone Biles. There's more people who gravitate to see a Michael Jordan, a Tiger Woods. When you are a Mike Tyson, when you are the best in your game, the experience that you have when you trash, when you're not as good, usually that conversation comes from people who look like you. Because other people are trying to invest in you and make a few bucks off you. So all you got to do is be very good at what you do, and you'll find that what they say that the limitations are or the discrimination is, it has nothing to do with people who already done invested in you and trying to want a return on their investment.
You know something, Prince? I was listening to Dr. Card Anderson once, and excuse me for this expression that he said, and it just hit me. He went like this here. He said, you know, he says, we don't produce anything. We produce absolutely nothing.
Right.
And he said, the only thing we produce is sweat. And he said, the last time I checked, ain't nobody buying any sweat.
And we got a conversation. We got a conversation about everything. And this is the whole thing that so we got an opinion about everything, even when we don't have the idea on how to make it better. Or we don't have the ability to help somebody else, but we have an opinion about everything. And look, man, I thank you for calling me, man. Every Monday you got a house, you got a home here at this house. Feel free to call, man. I'm going to say a few words. Thank everyone who called in today. Well, hey man, look, we family. This is your home. This is your home.
Wait a minute. I gotta say this real quick. I got him before George again.
Again.
I mean, after George again. Oh, goodness gracious.
Hey man, thank you so much, man. Everybody out there, have a great
You're
Monday.
You're welcome, brother.
I'm out.
To the roof beyond the sky, it's been a long-